Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
Well, I just want to introduce my wife of 50 years, 77 days, and what time is it? 11 hours. Okay. We were singing earlier. The worship team was singing about delight and joy. What's your joy? What brings you joy? What brings you delight? Before that song was sung, I sat here and I made a statement to the Lord privately. Lord, let you be my number one delight. Because, you know, you have a list of things you like. So I'm going to ask you today, what's your number one thing? Because, see, your number one delight will cause you to be joyful if you get it for a season. But when you delight in the Lord, it's for eternity. So just take a moment before the message comes up, because, you know, we're so used to church formats. Sometimes you got to do some business, too. Ask the Lord to look at your delight list. What makes you happy? Or what do you think would happen? Oh, if the stock market went way up, I would make money, I'd be happier. If this happened, somebody would invite me to do that. You know, I mean, what would make you happy right now? And the thing that God is looking for is people whose delight is in the Lord. Delight is in seeing his kingdom released in the earth realm. What? Now, there's nothing wrong with having a list of delights. Just make sure it's in the right priority. So, Father, I just pray for all of us right now, me included, that nothing would take the position of being our number one desire and delight in this life but you, Holy Spirit, and following you. Because Jesus, you said, he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. And Lord, when we're in all truth, we can't help but be happy and joyful. And Lord, I thank you and praise you. Lord, bless Cheryl as she comes up. So, Shirley goodness, have mercy.
Hi, everybody. It's good to be here today. Oh, my goodness. So, today's message is be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's my message today. I have been reading since the head of the year in September, I've been reading through the New Testament. That's what I've been doing, and I've been doing it through several translations. And it's just amazing to me. I love the Word of God. It is so full of food and nourishment and just strength for us. And particularly, I've been enjoying the books of Paul, Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. I always said GEPC, Gentiles Eat Pork Chops, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, yeah. So that's the chop. That's how I used to remember that as a younger person. Forgot it now because I'm old. But anyway, but what the Lord has been speaking to me about is how to be strong in him. Because we're in a place now in America and really around the world where if we don't have the strength of the Lord to empower us on a daily basis, we can really become weak and useless, or weak and just unable to press through the battles that we need to press through. I want you to say to the person sitting next to you, we have an enemy. Sometimes it's the devil, and sometimes it's us. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy because we don't do what the Word of God tells us to do. You know, we do what we want to do. And so I think even the word that the Lord gave today about saturation, we choose what we saturate ourselves with. We make a choice every moment. Every moment. It's so funny because I love to shop, which most women do. And it's really amazing that when I turn my phone on in the morning, the first things that come up on my phone are advertisements for what I like to shop for. Because I have shopped on my electronic devices. That's how most of us do it now. And they follow you. There are things on your phone and on your iPad and on your computer that know what you purchase and the time of day that you purchase the most. Isn't that amazing? And so it's just an incredible thing to me. And so I began to think about, what do I saturate myself with? You know, this morning when the Lord gave that word, and the proof is in the pudding. What pops up on your phone? What pops up on your computer or iPad? Is it the Word of God that you studied the previous day or looked words up? No, it's whatever you looked at the most on that. And so we can really begin to see in a natural way, okay, what are we really saturating ourselves with? And is this bringing us the joy and the strength that we need? So in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks today, and send some to those who have nothing prepared." He's talking about the celebration of the Lord that they had when the temple was rebuilt. "This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." We have in our life an appropriate time to grieve. We grieve over our sin. We grieve over the loss of loved ones. But in the Word of God, there is a time to do that, but then there is a time to stop. Because when we go beyond a time limit in grieving or being upset over something, which is natural emotional things, when we go beyond the time designated of the Lord to do that, it begins to sap our strength and make us useless in the assignment that God has for us. And we have to look and say, okay, how do I now begin to increase the joy of the Lord in my life so that my strength, not only to overcome the enemy in our life, but my strength to be able to do everything that God has called me to do and to be in order to strengthen others, what do I need to do today? The Lord says many times in Scripture, put off your grief now. I remember the Scripture in the Old Testament. I don't know where it is, but you'll know about it when I talk about it. David became king, and they had to go, and they took all of Saul's sons, and they killed them. Do you remember that story? They killed all of Saul's sons. And the widow of them sat on the rock and for days and days and days just kept swinging her garment, keeping the birds of prey off of the bodies because they didn't bury the bodies. You know, it was people just went and did that. That's what they did in those days. And she just continued to sit on that rock and chase away in her grief anything that would try to desecrate those bodies. It was an honorable thing. But David said, all right, now today, you go and you bury those bodies. In other words, what he was saying was, he didn't say that to the woman, but the men did it. And so what was God saying? God was saying, that is over. We now have to look and move forward. It was honorable what she did. However, if it had allowed to be continued, the kingdom would not have come into the fullness and the strength that God had meant for it to come into. This is where we are. I mean, this was just a practical thing. Because you think, oh, man, you got to, you know, this was right. Look how sad this is. Yeah, it is. But the day comes where God says, get up and now begin to move forward so that the strength that this kingdom was designed to create in the earth realm is not thwarted by your emotion or by your religious feelings about those type of things. You've got to get up now and do what I say to do and move on. And they did it. And David's kingdom came into the power and strength that God had ordained it to come into. Sometimes we saturate ourselves with things that prevent us from doing that. Sometimes we get saturated, and it's what, I mean, I wasn't even thinking about saturation this morning until the worship broke out, and the worship opened heaven over us. And the Lord said, why do you think I sent that rain yesterday? That was a sign from heaven that my rain is coming to saturate you in a new way, to bring you into a new vibrancy that you've not walked in a while, because you're saturating. We are saturating ourselves in things that bring us down, make us dry, and make us barren. Pops up on your phone. It pops up on your computer. I mean, he spoke to me first. Anyway, so the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not the rules and regulations of the Lord, not the religious structures that we've built around us, or even our cultural structures. That woman did the right thing for a season, but then it went beyond the season that it was intended to go to. And when we do that in our lives, when we take natural things but take it too long into our future, it thwarts God's purposes in our life. The Lord said that we are to be so full of joy, even in the worship today, when David said, surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. He anoints our head with oil. He sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. But then he says, my cup runneth over. I began to sing it. I wasn't thinking of that. Our cup should be running over, but what should it be running over with? The joy of the Lord. Not the negativity of what we think about how everything's going. We can think about those things and pray about those things, but when that begins to be the cup that is overflowing out of us on a daily basis, we are not living in the saturation of the reign of the Spirit of the Lord in our lives. That's the earth. Are we supposed to be blind to it? No, we're not. But it's not supposed to be the river that flows out of us on a continual basis. It is to be the strength of the Lord because of joy. Ephesians 6:10 and 11 says this, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. That's the dunamis word. It means the miraculous. Finally, my brethren, this is the King, that was amplified. This is King James. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That word, power, that word means to be enabled, to be strengthened. It means to make strong. How do we do that? How do we get to the place in our life where we are focusing on what we're supposed to be focusing on so that we gain the strength of the Lord through every situation we go through? How do we do it? There's many ways. In Ephesians 6:11, Paul says, now listen, nobody knew what God had given me to speak on. I spoke at our church Sunday, I'm speaking on it here today. David did not know this, and he talked about it, about Paul. You know, when Paul was in prison. Now, back then, and in foreign countries today, it's the same, some foreign countries. If you didn't have somebody bringing you food and clothing and medical things, whatever medical things they had back then, you didn't eat. You didn't have clothing. You sat in prison and you rotted. You go to Turkey today, it's the same way. It's not like American prisons where you're, you know, fed and clothed. It's nothing like that. You die in those prisons because they don't even feed you unless somebody comes and brings it to you. It's pretty scary. And Paul, in that condition, in that prison, we've been in that prison where he was, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As he was sitting in that prison. And he goes on to say in Galatians and Ephesians how he has learned to have nothing and to have everything. You know, Paul ran the gamut in all that stuff, and he never lost his strength. Because his strength came from maintaining his joy in the Lord. It wasn't like he wasn't surrounded by negative and evil things just like we are today, but that was not what he allowed himself to be saturated with. He says, put on God's whole armor, the army of a heavy armed soldier which God supplies, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. What is that armor? I'll tell you in a minute. We know what it is, but let's go over this. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, the powers, the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere, just like today. Back then it was the same. It has never changed. Therefore, put on the complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. When I was reading these scriptures about being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, it was as if I saw our feet being placed into deep cement and the cement hardening so that we were immovable. So what is it that we're placing our feet in? We're placing our feet here, like Paul says, we're placing it in the Word of God, in the promises that God has given us, and we're placing it in the joy of all that God has spoken, because that becomes our strength. And we will be immovable. It's not that we won't see the negativity that's going around us. We will see that, and we will pray about it. But we won't be so moved by it that we lose hope and we lose our joy. It's not always easy to do that, especially when sad things happen. But we live in a fallen world. We live in an earth where people die, sometimes prematurely, or where you lose all of everything you have because of some, who knows, job loss or stock falls or whatever it is. Things happen in life. When we get saved, God never said, I'm not going to let any of this happen to you. What he said was, I will be with you in everything you go through in your life. And we will learn how to stand and regain all. But we can't do that if we don't have the joy of the Lord, which is his strength. We have to have it. We We can't have, nothing else will help us. And if we've lost our joy, we've got to look in the mirror and say, okay, how did this happen? What has my focus been that drained my joy tank? Because if our focus is on the Lord, His word and His promises, when these things come up, and they come up in all, listen, I'm going to be 70 this year. I can tell you, stuff happens in your life. It happens. But if we can get this about keeping the joy of the Lord in our life, no matter what we go through, our tank will never be empty. You know that old, well, you guys don't know it because you're young, but us, when we were young, Tony the Tiger, you know, in your tank, do you have a tiger in your tank? Do you have joy in your tank? What river is flowing out of you on a continual basis? What are you splashing other people with? Sometimes I think something's wrong with me because I feel too happy sometimes. Even in the midst, I'm not going to say I never have a down day. I do have down days. But
that's when I'm not there.
Yeah. 50 years, you want to talk about having to maintain your joy, 50 years of marriage. I'm just being honest with you. Listen, every day we have to learn how to find places of joy in what we're living in life. And if we don't know, if we don't say, yeah, this is the truth, we're deceiving ourselves. Anyway, I hope you're getting something out of this. So it says, so Paul says in Ephesians 6, 13, because we have an enemy, because sometimes life is unfair, you know, and all of that, this is what Paul says. Therefore, you put on God's complete armor. God doesn't put the armor on for us. That is a call to action on our part. You put on the armor of God. So how do we do that? Listen, we've probably heard this sermon a million times, but I have never heard it, never thought about it as a prerequisite of enabling me to be strong and keeping the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. I've never thought of it in that way until the Lord showed me this. And he says, tighten. Stand therefore, hold your ground. In other words, sink your feet in that cement, like I saw. What's the cement? Having tightened the belt of truth around your loins and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God. In other words, stand in faith. Don't back up into your old response patterns or go to sleep. We have response patterns, and we cannot do that anymore. We have to respond according to truth. We can't respond according to religious dogma or political opinion or emotion. We have to learn to respond out of our spirit man by the truth of the Word of God, which we have girded ourselves with. You think about it. I'm going to put it this way. In the olden days, ladies used to wear girdles. The girdles were to hold in the rolls. Or the...
But they got called up yonder.
Yeah. You know, I'm just saying, girdles were worn to tighten the loose skin or whatever it was you had on your body. It was to tighten you up, to reinforce you in your posture and reshape you. And that's what the Word of God does for us. It becomes the girdle around us, which reshapes us into the warrior that God has called us to be. But what is that girdle of truth? It's the Word of God. We stand on the word of God, not on political opinion, not on religious dogma, because both of them cannot be, may not be the word of God in your life. It's his word and the truth that it speaks. But we're told to put this on. So what does that say? Get in the word. We need to be people of the word of God. We need to read it daily, sometimes several times a day. Read it in different translations so you can understand it. When that gets into us and begins to form the building blocks of truth in us, when things happen in life, our response will come out of that truth. It won't come out of what we think or our opinion or what somebody else thinks. It'll come out of what God thinks. And when we do that, we will break through every barrier that is trying to prevent us from walking in the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. I want to respond biblically. I don't always do it. Trust me, I catch myself. I'll catch those thoughts and say, no. I'm casting you down, those thoughts. I literally put my hand up and grab them, you know, if I have to do that. So I get excited. I'm sorry. And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness, and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Lift up all the covering, the shield of saving faith, upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And let me tell you what God is saying here. This shield of faith we lift up. In the olden days, it looked like a big door, and it was huge. And it was wooden, and then it was wrapped in leather. It was soaked in water. It was wrapped in leather. It was soaked in oil. You could not get something through that. And if a flaming arrow hit it, because it had been so soaked in water, it put the flame out. They were huge. These shields. They weren't the little tiny shields we see. They were big like a door. They were big like a door. They covered the whole man. They covered those whole soldiers. So we put that shield of faith around us. And it is produced by again the word of God, but it's also produced by our promptness and readiness to respond to the word of God. See, when Paul says put on the armor, this is what we have to do to be strong and protected. We have to be prompt and ready when God speaks. We can't dilly-dally and, oh, well, maybe I'll do it next week. Because by the time next week comes, this is what the devil does. Let me just tell you what I wrote down here. The devil says, and this has never changed from the day of Garden of Eden, he will come to you and say, hath God said that you're going to do this here? Or hath God said that this is going to happen? Hath God said that you're really going to serve him and be anointed? Hath God said that you have what it takes? It's never changed. I call that the serpent spirit, and it still speaks today. And so that's one of the things that we combat. We combat it. How do we combat it? We make righteous declarations. We decree the word that we have girded ourselves with. And we say, oh, no, God has said this and that. God has said that I am the anointed of the Lord. God has said that I am saved. God has said that by his stripes I am healed. Is everybody healed? Sometimes people are not. We don't know why. We don't know why. We worked with Benny Hinn for 5 years. Sometimes in those healing meetings, people would get healed tremendously, and other people would walk out and not be healed. We don't know why that happens. We will when we get to heaven. But does that stop me from believing and stretching out my hand to heal, to pray for healing for someone? No, it doesn't. It does not stop me because I know what God says. Okay. Am I going too long?
No, not at all. Don't say that.
It says, take in Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. And so what is it for us? The helmet of salvation, what does that represent? Yes, we're saved. But it also represents that we have come into a new way of thinking and speaking and living as a new creation in Christ. We do not speak out of our old mindsets or out of the way that we were prior to salvation. We learn not to speak out of that anymore, but to speak through the Word of God and the newness of what God is doing in us. I think that old mindsets, old ways of thinking, and old ways of even acting. Sometimes it can be like we've been in a play, and we just rehearse the words, and we do the same play every day, over and over again. That's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to so saturate ourselves with the Word of God that in any given moment, in any given situation, a new word will come up in us, not the same one we've used every single day. There's no roteness in God. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says, don't be like the heathen that repeat the same thing over and over again. He says that in the Word. It should be so alive in us that no matter what the situation is or the moment it happens in, we have that new and fresh word coming up out of us to speak. We can get in religious, we can just get in a religious circle of life, and that's not what God wants us to be. And then he says in Ephesians 6:18, he says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. And to that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance. In other words, don't give up. Jacob wrestled God all night, and he wrestled him with such perseverance that God had to dislocate his thigh bone in order to beat Jacob in the wrestling match. Think about that. God, he was so persevering in that match. That's how we have to be. God really had to cheat. Because he could have overcome it, but he chose not to, I guess. He had to take out Jacob's thigh bone. He had to break the flesh in Jacob to such an extent that he could overcome him. And that's how it is with us.
Cheryl, that's because his number one desire was to grab onto God. Here. His number one desire was to wrestle with God and not let go till he got the answer. That's why that desire list is so important. Because anybody else would have said, oh, this is God. I'll wait for him to do something.
Desire thing that John was talking about earlier. And so that story about Jacob is in the Bible twice of him persevering, that persevering at, inner thing in him. We have to be like that with the Lord, and he will always bless that. And so the Lord says that we can't give up. We have to be watchful at all times. We just don't give up. Um, So I just want to encourage you that in this season that we're going through, we're going through so much stuff. Listen, Abraham was strong in faith. There's different strengths. There, you know, and Abraham was strong in faith. How did that look? Well, it tells you in the scripture that when God came to him and said, you're going to have a child, that your seed is going to bless the entire earth. Now, God was prophesying to Abraham about the Messiah that would come through Abraham's bloodline. We know this. But Abraham was 90 years old at the time when he got this prophetic word, or Sarah was 90, whatever it was. They were old. They were past the time of being able to have children. But when God spoke that word to him, he was strong in faith. He didn't let the natural circumstances that were truth in the natural. Sarah could not have a baby anymore. She was way beyond the years of being able to have a child. Abraham was way beyond those years in being able to have a child. But the faith in him was so strong that it overcame the natural truth, the natural fact. And he got that faith within him because of his consistent walk with God, his consistent responding in time. We talked about our responsiveness. His consistent understanding of what God was speaking to him, the truth of God. It happened through a time and a season that he became strong. He never let up on that persevering, that focused trust in God. So Abraham was what, 100 and Sarah 99 or whatever it was, and they had a baby. Is that amazing? He was strong in faith so that the new thing could be birthed. We've got to get like this, all of us. God's getting ready to birth a new thing. You know, when the rains come like they did yesterday, you know what that does? It softens the dead seed pod in the earth that's laid there all year from last season, softens the coating, allows the shoot to come forth out of that seed, so that the new things can blossom in this new season. That's what God did yesterday. You got 3.1 inches of rain in Jersey City yesterday. We looked it up on the governmental thing. That's an amazing thing. It was a sign from the Lord for this territory that God is getting ready. He's softening what had died in the last season, because the seed, unless it dies, the scripture says, cannot bring forth its new fruit. And that's what God's doing with all of you. So anyway, got anything you want to add to this? This is what Paul says, and I'm going to go over this again. It says in Philippians 4:13, when he was in the prison, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. This is the Amplified. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. The Passion Translation says, and I love this, and I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. It's like an explosion. When a human egg is fertilized by the human sperm, at that moment that takes place, an explosion takes place. They've documented it scientifically, of light They have documented it. There is an explosion of life that happens. This is what this is talking about. The Word of God in us and our ability to respond to that Word brings that explosion of life, not only in us, but every single thing that we are called to do from the Lord. He causes an explosion of life to come out of that seed that had been planted and maybe, you know, hadn't come, that little sprout comes up. That's what the Spirit of God does within us. Now, this is the last thing I'm going to share with you on this. Psalm 18, 1 through 3. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And this is what David said. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The rock means a high fortress, an unreachable place of safety. That's what the Lord is to us. This is our strength. Now think about this. This is who our strength is. He is the unreachable place of safety. He is the fortress, a net or a castle of defense. So not only is he a place of safety, but he's our defender. He's our deliverer. And in my translation, he's our way of escape. No matter what we found ourselves in or what place, difficulty, we may have even gotten ourselves in it, he will always be our way of escape. He is our strength, our refuge and our hiding place. He is our buckler, and that means one who hedges me about. It doesn't mean that the things aren't going to happen in life, but if and when they do, this is who God is for us in those situations. He is the horn of my salvation. Listen to this. It means he is the powerful one who will punish or gore my enemies and save me from their destruction, bringing me liberty, prosperity, and safety. He is my high tower. Again, he is my inaccessible place of safety who preserves me from my enemies in the high place. So I'm just going to end with this. This week, I want you to read these scriptures. There are three kind of songs of deliverance, and I think it's really key for us to study them in this time. Exodus 15, 1 through 18, that's Moses' song of deliverance when he was delivered from the Egyptians. Exodus 15, 1 through 18. David's song of deliverance is found in 2 Samuel 21, 1 through 51. I'm telling you, these songs of deliverance are powerful. And then God's eternal covenant of peace, and to me it's a song. Isaiah 54, 1 through 17. All of these scriptures are so key right now for us because of everything we're going through in the world and what we may be going through and see. It is so important that we maintain our joy. It doesn't mean you live in la-la land and you don't know what's going on around you. What it means is, in spite of what is going on around you and what the enemy may be doing or what God may be allowing to happen, we maintain the joy of the Lord in our life because we know what the scripture says to us about our life and about who he is for us. So stand up. I'm just going to pray for you. and release this. First of all, Lord, I just want to pray for everyone here today that is sensing a lack of joy in their life. I pray right now today, Lord, that you would begin to infuse them, Lord, with new faith for a joyous attitude and a joyfulness of spirit. Not because of what they do or what anyone else does around them, but because of what you have done and are doing in their lives. Lord, when we think back on these ones that David mentioned today, I mean, he didn't know what I was really going to speak about. Lord, when we think back on these men and women in Scripture that maintained their joy in tremendous times of persecution and hardships, Lord, they never lost it. Their cup continued to overflow because in the midst of everything, you set a table before them in the presence of their enemies. Surely goodness and mercy followed them all the days of their life, despite what was around them. And Lord, you delivered them all, Lord Jesus. And I just decree today, Lord, I loose new joy into this troop in Jersey City. I loose it today in the name of Jesus. And I bind all joy-robbing thoughts and impressions and old mindsets in the name of Jesus. I bind it up and I command it to go back to the pit of hell that God says you're to go to. I bind that serpent spirit that speaks and says from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, hath God said, your mouth is bound and gagged today over this congregation. And I send you back to where you came from in the name of Jesus. Lord, I decree today that as they study the armor of God, Lord, that they would see what they need to put on every day, what we all need to put on. It's a faith action. We are required a faith action, Lord, and sometimes we don't even know how to do it. I don't sometimes, Lord, and I just pray that you'd give us the wisdom from heaven to know what piece of armor is required for the battle that we are going through at that moment. Lord, I also decree over this congregation a hunger for the Word of God. Amen. I loose it right now. I decree hunger for the Word of God in a way, Lord, that we have never felt in our lives. Lord, let your Word be our delight. Let that be on our list. And Holy Spirit, as we read your Word, I pray that you would envelop us, Lord, that we would so feel your presence and the life on that Word, that that explosion would take place as we read that Word, that explosion of life, that the seeds you have planted in us from your Word would begin to blossom in this season. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for this. Amen.